Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 7 of Untapped North. What a weekend we are coming off of with some pretty entertaining stuff happening in Canadian sports. I hope everyone had a relaxing and enjoyable weekend. I know I did, submitting some school assignments and watching sports for the majority of the weekend. You really can't beat that, right? I hope everyone was able to do the same. Just enjoy. Remember, right off the top, if there's anything that you, the listener, would like to hear on Untapped North with respect to sports, please reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook. Of course, you can also reach out to me through our website, untappednorth.com. A very quick side note, ladies and gentlemen, this is hopefully the only time that I mention politics on this podcast, so I'll make it short and sweet. If you are Canadian, and if you haven't already, please go out and vote today. Today is the day. On that note, it's time to jump into our weekend recap with the Blue Jays and some of our Canadian MLS teams. So without further ado, let's start with our first segment. Of course, we're recapping the Blue Jays, and so far I am 1-for-1. In my weekend predictions. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, for anyone who really knows me, they know that this will rarely happen, so I'll take it when I can. The Blue Jays took 2 out of 3 games from the Minnesota Twins in a weekend series that saw the return of Josh Donaldson to the Rogers Center, as well as seeing newly acquired pitcher Jose Berrios facing his former team. Well, what a return it was, really. Josh Donaldson let his presence known right off the bat. Thank you. But seriously, Donaldson came into the weekend firing on all cylinders and proved to fans, as he has for years, why he is dubbed the Bringer of Rain. He put together a pretty decent series. He had 10 ABs, he had 2 homers, 3 RBI, 3 hits, and had 3 runs scored, while only striking out twice. He also had 2 walks. Donaldson hit his 65th career home run at the Rogers Center, passing Sean Green for 7th most at the ballpark in history. You might know some of the other players on the list who have hit the most home runs at the Rogers Center since 2015. Josh Donaldson tops the list with 63 homers, with former first baseman and DH Justin Smoke close behind him with 61. Fan favorite Jose Bautista is 3rd on that list with 43, while his former teammate Edwin Encarnacion is 4th with 38. Rounding out that list are 2 current Blue Jays. Randall Grichuk has 37, and Teoscar Hernandez is close behind him with 34. Speaking of Teoscar Hernandez, he hit a 3-run bomb on Saturday, which brought his season RBI total to 106. This marks the first time the Blue Jays player has over 100 RBIs since 2016, when Edwin Encarnacion had 127. Speaking of home runs, Blue Jays second baseman Marcus Semien came up clutch in the latter half of the weekend, while also crushing his 40th homer on Saturday, marking the 4th time in Blue Jays history that the team has 2 players or more with 40 home runs. Of course, this year it's Marcus Semien and Big Daddy V, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Prior to this season, it was Jose Bautista and Josh Donaldson in 2015. Tony Bautista and Carlos Delgado in 2000, and Delgado and Sean Green in 1999. I want to bring a little bit of a fun fact, a little bit of a history fun fact. In 2000, there's a New York Times article written by Murray Chass that wrote, and I quote, "In what is and may always be the worst trade the young Arizona Diamondbacks have made, they sent Tony Bautista to the Toronto Blue Jays 14 months ago because they needed a left-handed relief pitcher. Dan Plesac, the reliever they got, is a nice guy. But he could never do enough for the Diamondbacks to make up for the loss of Bautista." End quote. Wow. Imagine being traded and all they can say about you is that you're a nice guy. That's a tough break for Plesac. But shout out to the Diamondbacks for doing a solid for Canadians and for the Toronto Blue Jays way back when. Such typical D-backs. God, they're awful. But getting back to the weekend, we have Marcus Semien again. I want to talk about his homer. He tied Rin Sandberg for fourth on the list of MLB second basemen with the most home runs in a season. He sits two back from tying Brian Dozier and Rogers Hornsby's 42 dingers, while sitting three back of tying first place David Johnson's 43 homers on that list. Not only that, Marcus Semien is now the third MLB infielder in Major League history with 40 homers in his first season with a new team. He joins Alex Rodriguez, who hit 52 with Texas in 2001, and also Davey Johnson, who hit those 43 homers that we just spoke about with Atlanta in 1973. So big ups to Marcus Semien and Teoscar Hernandez for making some history. And as far as the pitching for the Jays go, this weekend was bittersweet as the team saw Hyunjin Ryu hit the IL with neck tightness after his start against the Twins, which, as I expected, was one to forget. He pitched two innings, gave up five hits, five earned runs, and only struck out two batters. So clearly there's something going on with Ryu, and who knows, maybe he has been dealing with some of these nagging injuries down the stretch. But this is the worst time for the Jays to be worrying about a top rotation guy going down. So what does the team do? This team rallies. And luckily, the team got a nice outing from Steven Matz on Saturday. He went 5 2/3, allowing only three hits and two earned runs while striking out five. In his four starts at Rogers Center this season, Matz boasts a 1.99 ERA, a 1.15 whip. He's limiting opponents to an average of 2.18 and has 19 Ks through 22 2/3 innings. Needless to say, this dude loves pitching at home. And someone else who loves pitching, Jose Berrios. Well, Jose Berrios, he got a chance to pitch against his former team on Sunday, and like Matz, was quite impressive on the mound. Berrios pitched 6 2/3, allowing four hits and three earned runs while managing to strike out six batters, while only limiting the Twins to one walk. In his last five starts, Berrios holds a 4-1 record while boasting a 2.38 ERA and a 0.76 whip. He's also only allowed three walks and has 36 strikeouts in that time, which is nasty. There is some nasty stuff happening from Berrios down the stretch, which is exactly what the Toronto Blue Jays need, especially if Ryu is to go down, and who knows for how long. Now, the Blue Jays open up a three-game series against the Tampa Bay Rays tonight with first pitch scheduled for 7:10 p.m. Eastern. Robbie the Pants Ray takes the mound for the Jays tonight, with Alek Manoah getting the ball on Tuesday. Wednesday's starter for the Jays has yet to be named, but don't be surprised if they maybe tried a bullpen game. It might be a bold move, but one that would benefit both their starting rotation and also the bullpen, getting some good work in against a potential playoff opponent come postseason time. After the Blue Jays series with the Rays, the team once again goes to bat against the Twins for a four-game series that gets underway on Thursday in Minnesota. Naturally, there hasn't been much announcement on starting rotation for those games, but I would not be surprised to see some sort of mix of Steven Matz, Jose Berrios, Robbie Ray, and maybe even Alek Manoah. We could also see Hyunjin Ryu return from his sore neck problems. Now, hopefully the rest of the rotation and bullpen don't feel similar effects from having to carry the team in Ryu's absence. I think the Jays will once again win 2 out of 3 games this week against the Rays, and probably win 3 out of 4 against Minnesota in the latter part of the week and into the weekend. 7 games in 7 days. The Jays will win 5 out of 7, starting with tonight's contest. Once again, you can catch the Jays game tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, either on Sportsnet or on the MLB Network. To close out this segment, I just want to play a small interview clip from the weekend. It comes to you from Vladdy Guerrero Jr. explaining his jersey swap and the moment that he shared with Josh Donaldson over the weekend.
And also, Vlad, we all just saw a moment ago, you and Josh Donaldson exchanged jerseys and obviously shared a moment there. Could you just let us know maybe where that idea came from and if you could share sort of what you guys said in that moment?
Obviamente vimos el cambio de uniforme, que camisa que tuvieron tú y Donaldson ahora mismo. Ella le gustaría saber de quién fue la idea y lo que hablaron ahí, el momento que compartieron ahí.
Bueno, yo creo que obviamente... ayer yo le pedí una camiseta y él me pidió una camiseta y yo le dije, bueno, vamos a hacerlo después del juego, el mañana, y lo hicimos después del juego ahí afuera. Y sabes lo que me dijo, que me mantenga enfocado y que siga trabajando fuerte.
Well, basically yesterday during the game I asked him for a jersey and he asked me for a jersey, so we kind of like together said, okay, well, so we'll do it after the game, after the last game of the series, and that's what we did today. And he just told me after, like, hey, just stay focused and keep working hard to the end.
Our next segment is a recap of our Canadian MLS teams. Now, I will happily hold my L when it comes to my predictions for the MLS this weekend. I say happily because finally, after 2 months, Toronto FC came away with a victory. That's right, a win against Nashville Soccer Club over the weekend. It did not come without some grit and some fight, of course. This game could have easily ended in a draw or a loss for TFC. But Toronto definitely looked like a newer team defensively, and look as though they are finally putting the adjustments in training to the test on match day. It was nice to see the boys in red finally smiling again after, like I said, basically 2 months. Jacob Schaffelberg and Omar Gonzalez were your goal scorers for Toronto FC, with Gonzalez's game winner coming only 5 minutes after Nashville tied the game at 1 apiece. That was something TFC struggled to do, which was fight and come back in winnable games. On paper, Nashville outplayed TFC. They held the ball for 56% possession, and they had 7 corners on the night. However, despite being slightly outshot and having a 53% tackle success rate, Toronto FC were gritty enough to scratch out a win. Club de Foot Montreal defeated Chicago Fire 2-0, just as predicted, with Montreal controlling the game from start to finish. The team had 62% possession and 67% tackle success rate while boasting an 88% pass completion rate. Chicago outshot Montreal, but Montreal came away with the 2-0 win. Getting my brain back on track while watching the Whitecaps game last night. You know that LMFAO song? Shots, 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 shots. Yeah, that one. That's all I could think about last night. Holy cow. The Colorado Rapids had 23 shots last night. 23. Now, you must think that this game got out of hand. No. Out of those 23 shots, Colorado only mustered 5 of them on target. Despite being outpassed and outpossessed by Colorado, the Vancouver Whitecaps managed a 1-1 draw over the weekend, with goals for each team coming in the first half. It was just a matter of seeing out the rest of the game for the Whitecaps, whose chances were far and few between, having 9 shots with only 4 on target. There are no Canadian MLS games throughout this week, as all 3 Canadian teams are playing on Saturday, the 25th. Untapped North will bring you a preview of each of those games on Friday's episode of The Weekend Ahead. Our final segment today comes to you from the NHL. In the world of hockey, it is the Ottawa Senators and Edmonton Oilers who are making some rumblings over the last few days. Nothing crazy, but enough that I just want to bring some notes to your attention. The Senators have signed Tyler Ennis to a PTO contract yesterday, while also announcing that the team signed Logan Brown to a 1-year, 2-way contract extension, which carries a value of $750,000 in the NHL and $100,000 in the AHL. Last season, Brown put up 9 points in 13 games with the Belleville Senators of the AHL, and over his NHL career, Brown has 1 goal and 8 assists in 30 games. He was selected 11th overall by the Senators in 2016. The Edmonton Oilers also announced a contract extension on Saturday for forward Kyler Yamamoto. The 22-year-old agreed to a 1-year deal with the Oilers worth about $1.2 million. In 52 games last year, Yamamoto potted 8 goals and had 13 assists, while also logging 26 minutes in penalties. Fun fact, Yamamoto actually led the Oilers forwards last year in blocked shots with 40 blocked shots in 52 games. He also had 52 hits in that same time. Finally, in case you missed it, the NHL has announced, they announced on Friday, it was Friday that they announced the Montreal Canadiens will host the 2022 NHL Draft at the Bell Centre on July 7th and July 8th. It will mark the 27th time that the city has hosted the NHL draft and the first time since 2009. Montreal was scheduled to host the 2020 NHL draft, for those of you that remember. That event was obviously moved to a virtual event for health and safety precautions due to COVID-19. The NHL also announced that NHL club executives, scouts, and coaches will be present in person, while fans and media will also be expected to attend the event in a live, in-person format in Montreal. Finally, it seems we're making those steps slowly but surely to getting back to more normalcy as we learn to continue to navigate through the world of COVID-19. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say thank you. That concludes our week ahead episode of Untapped North on this Monday afternoon. Once again, feel free to hit me up on Instagram or Facebook at Untapped North, or you can contact me through our official website, www.untappednorth.com. I hope you have a wonderful week ahead, and make sure you tune back in on Friday for either a blog or podcast episode with this week's recap in sports, while also previewing another weekend ahead. In case you don't know by now, my name is Andrew Stewart, and I want to thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day, and until next time, peace.